All right, whole bunch of stuff's about to happen. Let's open the phone lines. Here we go, 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476 to get on the phone to play the know-it-all quiz. Answer one of the five questions correctly, and you win yourself...
It's another Cairo prize pack.
Yes, that's right. A Cairo prize pack. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone to get on the air to play the know-it-all quiz. That's right. You get a chance to really... It's more about bragging rights, isn't it, Tom?
It better be. We certainly don't got the prizes. To make it
work. We're working on it. We're working on it, Tom.
That's right.
1-888-973-5. It's going to get personal?
Yeah, I mean, the gift pack. It's going to be very specific to Tom and Curly fans.
That's right. 1-888-973-5476 right now. It's just bragging rights. Get on the phone. By the way, the answer to one of the questions can be found on our Facebook page.
Ooh.
So go on the Facebook page, and then you're going to get one of the answers already set up for you there right there.
You have to
and
clear off the cobwebs.
That's right. Oh, here comes that wooden wagon. The wooden wagon's making its way in. While Jacob's in there answering the phones, 1-888-973-5476. One horse, still just one horse. Where is... So what's happened to... If you haven't been following, everything is Clip got an infection in its leg. Sean put baking soda on it, wrapped it in seafold towels, and then it got worse, shockingly. And then you ended up amputating the leg, and then yesterday we get the news that Clip has passed. And that's where we are. So that's why there's only one horse bringing the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Right, Sean?
Yeah. We're down to one horse, unfortunately. Here's the thing, though, is I'm going to have to drive what is left of the horse to the pet cemetery in Kent. And so I'm going to...
You don't have a car. You don't have a car.
No, I don't have a car. I got rid of that Volvo a couple of years ago. Right. So I'm going to have to Uber, probably Uber X or Uber Black. And I don't know where they'll have room for the horse, maybe the trunk. I mean, it is missing a leg, so maybe there's more room.
Yeah, because you said what's left of it. You're giving the impression that it's not, and you would imagine a horse, okay, minus leg.
Right, exactly. So, you know, maybe some cars have that sort of that elbow, that armrest in the back seat where you can fold down and you can see into the trunk. Maybe we can kind of like push part of the head through that.
Okay, all right. Let's get the mic close in.
She and I do not sext one another.
That is right.
What we do is we send one another properties on Zillow or Trulia.
Just look at it.
Three bedrooms, two bathrooms. You are a bad girl.
Open the curtain.
Who likes a big backyard?
The answer is E.
Diving into the news. All right. Are you burying the thing over there at the Kent Cemetery, Sean?
Oh, yeah. I am going to bury that thing, and I'm actually saving Cairo a bit of money by doing it myself. So,
all right.
It's going to be a shallow grave. I get 40% off when the temperature drops below 40 degrees.
Okay. Shallow grave that's remaining of Clip, our beloved horse. All right. Yikes. Hey, Sully.
Yes.
Yes, you're bearing good news so far. Hannah has come on with good news. Are you bringing
good news to the
show? I've
got nothing but good news. And let me say, your guys' dedication to the bit is unbelievable. There is no other radio show in the world that goes as deep as you will for the bit, even though it died 3 years ago.
Thank you. I don't know what you're talking about, bit, Chris.
That's all right. Yeah. See,
it's what goes in a horse's mouth.
Thank you. And Sean, in pieces, that thing will fit in the trunk.
Okay, thanks. Cut up bodies much?
Move it, please. Please. Traffic. And news about pay per mile. Sully.
Yes, we've got an update, just a little update on the road usage charge. This one's, it's kind of been in the background for the last couple of years, but I wanted to remind everybody that it's still alive and kicking, and it is most likely going to happen that at some point over the next decade, we are going, we being the state, are going to transition to a pay-per-mile system to fund our roads and transportation. So we'll be switching from the gas tax to this road usage charge probably within the next decade if the legislature, you know, kind of makes the ground that they think they're going to make over the next 10 years. That's what's going to happen. And so with all the talk of gas taxes increases and things like that, this one's kind of just been quietly chugging along, and it's still the most likely thing we're going to see for the future of transportation funding is that we are going to pay per mile. And if you think about it, the gas tax, we do pay per mile technically now anyway. If you think about it, the 2.4 cents per mile is about what we pay in gas tax. And this is just another way of doing it. Instead of the gas tax, you're going to just pay a flat rate of 2.4 cents per mile as it is constructed today.
So a lot of these kind of gas tax rules, they have sort of environmental justifications. But in this case, if I understand this correctly, this would benefit ultimately if you have a gas guzzler. You're going to be better off. You do.
Yeah, okay, completely. So you'll be I'm going to be doing great. Dave Ross is going to get screwed out of this deal.
Right, okay. Just checking.
Yeah, and so that's what's kind of odd in this whole thing is the way you have to kind of shift the thinking on this when you kind of dig into this. Basically, what's happening is our cars right now are more fuel efficient than they've ever been, and they're going to keep getting that way. So we get less bang for the buck in terms of gas tax per gallon because we fill up less times, okay? So we're running out of a stable funding source, which has been the gas tax for transportation. So they're looking for a way for us to pay for the actual miles driven on the road, which would, yes, certainly certainly put a disadvantage to the people who went out and bought an electric vehicle or someone who went out and bought a very high mileage vehicle, because right now those cars don't pay for the actual wear and tear they do on the road because they pay so little in gas tax. So right. What this does on one hand is it levels the playing field. Everybody pays their fair share for the wear and tear that they produce on the roads. But yes, it is very, it basically screws the people who, quote, have done the right thing, though a lot of electric vehicle supporters that we have talked to, including the folks that are sponsoring the bill to have all electric cars by 2030, think this is the right way to go, even though they know it'll mean they will have to pay more in taxes.
And why is that? Why do they think that?
Because they think it's just a better way to do things, a more equitable way. You pay for what you actually drive as opposed to how much your car actually consumes. They think it's a fairer way to do things going forward.
Some of the biggest concerns are privacy, administrative cost, and then lack of constitutional protection for the revenue. That last one is the Constitution. I think it's Amendment 18.
Yes, it is.
Basically says that you have to put the money into the roads. You can't have it drip and drizzle out into general funding, or you can't also create some sort of bizarre sort of side thing. It's got to go back towards roads. Plus, the other thing is privacy, in that they don't track you by name, and that they delete the data at a certain point, get rid of it, and they don't use it as, because it's public use in the sense of they can use it for research, data collection, things like that. I've seen that Washington Policy Center was saying, no, we don't want that. We want you just to be able to get it. We don't want our names attached to it. We could bring Susie Levine back in order to run the program and to protect the 1.6 million Washingtonians. We don't want to have her back. She's in Washington doing a great job. But the idea is that we see what happens, that somebody could get in there and get our data. We don't want them collecting it and holding it. So are they putting something in place to try to address those three concerns?
Yeah, they are, John. But what's going to happen is over the next decade, they are going to work all of this out, is the way they look at it. They're going to authorize a transition if that's what the legislature is going to do. So that gives them the kind of the starting point and the authority to go forward. By 2023, 2024, they plan to try to put the state motor pool vehicle fleet on this road usage charge, see how it works. There's a large multi-state study going on that will end in about 2026. It goes over a lot of the privacy things, how it's going to operate, how they might talk between state and states who are adopting this. And then by 2030, they think that they can get everybody in the state to transition to this. I think that's a little fast, considering the fact that those privacy issues have not been figured out. We haven't figured out how we're going to actually collect the data, how you're going to recoup the money. Say, for instance, if you're on the road usage charge, but you still have to pay the gas tax, because even though the gas tax is supposed to go away, with this project, it's not going to go away in 2030 because the way the bonds are set up for transportation projects that we haven't even broken ground on are bonded to the gas tax. So legally, we have to still pay the gas tax after this. So there's going to be a period of time where we're most likely going to be paying a road usage charge and the gas tax. Then we have to go back to the state and ask them to get reimbursed for the amount of the gas tax that we paid. So, I mean, who wants to do that? How nightmarish is that going to be to try to figure out how to be reimbursed or not? And then, of course, you have the privacy issue is, okay, if you want to read your odometer only and not have a GPS in your car, which is the option, they're going to have low-tech options, they're going to have high-tech options that you as a driver will get to choose. Question is, well, what if you're driving all the time on your Eastern Washington farm and that's all on private property? Are you going to have to pay for miles driven on your own roads in your own property? What if you drive to Oregon and they don't have a road usage charge? Well, the only way to know where your miles are is if you stick that GPS in, because it'll know whether you're on your property or in Oregon or British Columbia. So there's a lot they have to figure out. And you're right. It's not like right now we have a really big, secure amount of trust with the state of Washington and our data.
No. Right. You know, they told us 405 tolling would not be permanent, that it would be temporary. And then they ended up putting a big bond on top of it and made it permanent, broke one of the promises when it came to tolling on 405. So, again, this is not a department that can be trusted and doesn't necessarily have a lot of integrity as far as the voters are concerned. We'd seen that when it came to the car tabs and anything else that goes with it. So I think they should better off before they start the program down the road. Why don't they button all this stuff down now? Write the legislation in place now to understand about privacy. Put it down on paper rather than later on. We'll figure it out as we go along.
Well, that and also the 18th Amendment one, certainly. I mean, the last thing you want to do is replace your funding source and then have it be siphoned off to the general fund. The way this breaks down is the Washington State Transportation Commission, the people that set toll rates, ferry rates, things like that, they're going to the legislature with all the information saying, okay, here's what we think you should do. Here are our recommendations. It's going to be up to the legislature to go forward. There is no bill as of yet to say, okay, we're doing X, Y, and Z. They're still learning, but they've got a 9-year window out there that says, okay, we believe we'll have this done by then. And just like the transition to electric cars in 2030 because of price and availability and the ability of, you know, equity things and whatnot to be able to. I think that might be a little too optimistic.
And just one last question. What's the expectation looking down the road by 2030? What percentage of our cars will be electric and what will, still be gas powered? Because that's a concern. If we have bonds based on a gas tax and half the state is not using gas-powered vehicles, that's going to take forever to pay off those bonds.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of things to try to figure out on this top, both at the top of the list like that to down to in the minutia. But, I mean, if you think about it right now, I think the last time I talked to the folks from Cultura that are, you know, the big electric vehicle pushers in our state that are really behind this and trying to make this transition happen, right now I think only about less than 5% of the cars in the state are electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2030, they want that to be obviously much higher than that. British Columbia, I was in on a hearing this week, they're one of their transportation people that says they're up almost to 10% there in BC. So they're a little bit further down the road on this. But, I mean, until the price comes down, until we have the charging station
GM's going to stop making cars by 2035.
Yeah, well, yeah, who's going to buy them? I mean, it's going to be very difficult.
They're not making gas-powered cars at all.
No, that's supposedly. Right. But, I mean, the price is coming down, and it's getting better. Yeah. I mean, you can get into a used EV right now for under 10 grand. I mean, it's not bad, but what happens is Tesla skews the number way high because their models start at, you know, 65, 70. Yeah. But it's going to be very difficult,
overall,
I think, to move us that direction.
Yeah,
that
but, Sully, have you... There was a study that was done, it was the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago, and talking about the amount of carbon produced by cars is fairly insignificant, thinking that the car sits for 95% of the day. It doesn't have the carbon output that you would think. This also doesn't apply to trucks that produce a tremendous amount of carbon, or airplanes. So cars themselves, even if you flipped over to EV, the amount of effort that's going to take to put EV in place, when really cars themselves commuting for such a short period of time, and even small smaller commutes now, that it's not producing the same CO2 output that people are all so often concerned with. So anyway, that doesn't matter. It's all about image, and it's all about virtue signaling. So there we go. We'll get it here in Washington in 60 years. Thanks, Sully.
Just quickly, John, there are some good things to this. Not all virtual signaling. There is some good stuff to this.
Oh, yeah? Like what? What?
Moving to EVs, road usage charge on paper, those things sound good and can make sense. The problem is implementing them is very difficult.
Yes, true that.
I'm going to go jump in some water.
Thanks, Chris.
Only 2 minutes, Tom. And we, by the way, Jacob should be rushing back in right now to let us know that we have either somebody from the Humane Society on the line to talk to Sean about the horse or someone to play the know-it-all quiz. Jacob?
we do have someone. His name is Mike. He's a glazer, which I had to ask him what that is. So
what is
glazer
that?
Glazer is someone that fixes broken windows. Well, fixes broken windows.
Now you ruined the tease, John. Thanks a lot.
Fixes broken windows.
Haven't we had a glazer on before?
We had a Smitty on before, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I always get those two things mixed up.
No, it's what you don't normally think of. Those are two occupations you're like, well, glazer,
yeah.
Schmitty. Yeah, you don't think of Schmitty's around that much, do you? Tracy, nope. Taylor, a Schmitty. Would you rather have a Schmitty come to your house or a glazer?
I don't even know what those are.
That's why it's funny.
Okay, well then I'll go with the glazier.
That's right. If you have a broken window, you would want a glazier. Oh. If you had a broken window, you don't want a Schmitty coming putting a horseshoe on it, do you?
That's a farrier.
Also known as a Schmitty.
Okay.
Tracy, take over.
Right now.
Tracy,
okay.
Take over. Go. We're going to play the know-it-all quiz for fabulous prizes, which Jacob has already told us about. The lines were flooded, Tom. Everybody wanted to know. Everybody wanted to get on and play the know-it-all quiz. By the way, one of the answers were on our Facebook page. So if we find out who our contestant is and if he was able to or she was able to find out by checking out one answer, they are already about to receive fabulous prize coming their way. Let's meet our contestant now. Find the thing. And Jacob sent it to me earlier. And now.
I think his name is Mike or Mark or something.
He's downloading it. There it is. He lives in Lake Stevens. He's 35 years old. He was born in Scotland. His name is Mike, and he's a glazier. Hello, Mike.
How's it going, guys?
Great.
There's that thick Scottish accent. Oh, we love it. We love to hear people with a Scottish accent. Tom, say hi to Mike.
Hi, Mike. Listen, is a glazier is glazier work in Scotland different than glazier work in the Pacific Northwest?
Well, I don't think they have as many tall buildings.
I see. So that's key. Were you a glazier in Scotland, or did you leave Scotland long before you became a glazier?
Well, I left there when I was only 1 year old. So, my dad was in the Navy, so I was going over there.
Perfect. Have you been back to Scotland?
Hey, Tom.
Not yet. Tom. I don't think anytime soon with everything going on. So we'll see.
He's not going back. He's not going back because there was 1 year old doesn't mean anything to him. He watched Braveheart. Let me ask you this, Mike. You watched Braveheart. You're like, yeah, freedom. I mean, were you kind of like, I feel like jumping on a horse with blue paint on my face. Did that cross your mind?
I ripped my mask down and yelled, freedom.
Yeah, that's there exactly you go. Right. All right. I know what side that's Mike's funny. On right there, Tom.
Well, I do have to say, we did a building next to your studio, and I knew the studio was around there somewhere. This was a couple years back when you guys were on the mornings.
Yeah.
I looked out the window, and I saw John walking down the sidewalk, and I started banging on the window, yelling his name.
Yes.
Yes, no.
Did he have his shirt on?
Yeah, he had his shirt on.
Yeah. Okay. I gave you the wave. I gave you the wave like, all right, glazier. By the way, when you tell people you're a glazier, are people like, you must get the two different reactions. One, we're like, oh, that's good. So, and then they have no idea. Or the person actually admits that they don't know, right?
Or the person who thinks I just put the frosting on the donuts.
Right. There you go.
Exactly. All right. Let's get started. We have a complicated test for you today. It involves
a heck of a lot of sound. And...
Oh, you can do that.
Oh, so you can't cheat.
Don't worry. You can't cheat. Yeah, good. All right, let me ask Sean this. Did Sean answer one? Is that what's happening on these things, Jacob?
We've got a recording of Sean that we'll use as one of the options for one of the questions.
Oh, I see. Let me tell you something, Mike. Mr. Prudy Prude, that's you, Jacob. Prudy Prude, man. doesn't like one of my answers, so he tried to clean it all up and have Sean jump in and, like, sanitize it. So I'm letting you know right now, you're getting the G-rated version, okay?
Okay.
For all which right, question? You got to clue me in.
There are a bunch of them, Tom. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Let's tone and tenor the changes. And now here we go. The Prudy Prude Man's show. And this is, have we changed? Yes, okay. All right, Mike, here we go. All righty. Number one, a radio play-by-play announcer said this at the end of the Super Bowl.
Some guy with a bra. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
There we go. Who was he giving the advice to? Tom.
A. Sarah Thomas, the first female NFL referee. The announcer later apologized for the take off the bra part of his comment. B. A streaker. C. A cross-dressing
ignorant, loose woman. And she had a trumpet.
Oh, God. Really, Jacob?
I'll go with a streaker.
There you go. One Jacob. For one, John.
I can't find my button, Jacob.
Move the quiz thing over to my stupid... There we go. Thank you. Boy, oh boy. I'm sorry about this, Mike. You come all the way over from Scotland when you're 1 year old. You're very disorganized. What did Tom... Here we go. What did Tom describe as both as compelling and disturbing at the same time? Tom.
I assume that this is where we hear from Sean.
No. Well, usually I wait for you to say A.
A.
An ignorant, loose woman. And she had a trumpet.
Okay. Oh, B. John's emotional breakdown demanding something about turning the pancake machine on.
Turn on the pancake machine. Turn on the pancake machine. How many times do I have to say that?
Or C. A farmer setting mice on fire with a flamethrower.
A flamethrower and a few buckets of petrol. Now David Trigas is fighting back.
Right. I'd like to say the flamethrower, which was an amazing video I looked at when I got home, but I'm going to have to go with the pancake machine.
Right, big roll-up, too. Wrong answer. The answer is C. It is the man setting the mice on fire. Glad we could tell you that on the show, and then you could go home and watch mice being incinerated. That's why we are here every day. Here we are. Three. What Super Bowl ad did I have to rage at against and surprise Tom?
About your rage at. Yes. A, the Bruce Springsteen Jeep commercial where he drives to the middle of the country. B, the hot and spicy Doritos commercial where a man sets mice on fire with a flamethrower.
A flamethrower and a few buckets of petrol.
Or C, Will Ferrell goes to Norway because they're so good at EV cars. But isn't it interesting the country makes most of its money exporting fossil fuels?
Thank you, Tony.
Wow, that'd be Bruce Springsteen.
That's correct. Four. Here
race,
we go.
John.
A man accused of burglary tried a novel way to get on the judge's good side. What did he say, Tom?
A.
George, you are so gorgeous, the judge. I just have to tell you, you're gorgeous.
B.
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you. I think it's a filter.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it.
And C.
Some guy with a bra. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
Well, I'm not a cat myself, but I'm going to have to go with B.
Mike.
That's not his fault, though. We didn't actually do the other story, so he's only heard. But yeah, fair enough.
This is just a...
It was A.
File, this one right here. Here we go. It is A. Last one, mercifully. I jumped in some frigid water every day, and Dougie, my neighbor, plays lifeguard in case I have a heart attack. What does he hold in his hand to prevent me from giving him an STD if he were to perform mouth-to-mouth on me? Tom.
A. a toaster oven he can toss in to finish me off, so no need for any of that mouth-to-mouth business. B, a paramedic resuscitator. Or C, nothing. The thought of mouth-to-mouth would never even cross his mind.
He's got the little Cal Royal baggie with the paramedic.
Yeah. Wow.
Resuscitator.
And I called Jacob this afternoon, and I said, I just came out to the little place I jump in the water, and there was Doug standing there with his little plastic orange baggie, and he put another baggie over top of it, Tom, and he was ready to go. It's like heartwarming and bizarre all at the same time.
I didn't just like this show.
Yes. I just set some mice on fire and then do some radio. All right, Mike, you glazier from Scotland. You have won, as Jacob he really paints a picture. Go ahead, Jacob. Again, just let Mike know what's coming his way.
Cairo Radio prize pack.
Oh, boy.
One more time, Jacob. Just let Mike, I want you just to close your eyes for just a moment. And Jacob, again, why don't you just let him know what's coming his way?
Cairo Radio prize pack.
This real life?
All right, Mike.
I almost see it.
All right, I'll let you guys. Mike, Jacob, you just keep saying it to him on the phone. We'll check with Tracy Taylor.
That's mesmerizing.
Very exciting. Very mesmerizing. All right, Tracy, what's going on with traffic? Thanks, Mike. Give me a little bit of mailman, just as much as you feel that we need in order to set this up.
I'm the mail.
Wow, that's more than I thought. Wow, what did you think about that, Jake?
I own a lot of underwear.
All right, then. Let's get started with the letter of the day.
So we kicked off the show with what we're all anticipating, either tonight or tomorrow or the day after. The snowstorm, area code 206. Nick should just take John's philosophy of presenting the weather. Yeah. Just add more inches.
Thank you, Nick. Nothing wrong with that recall from yesterday. 206, why is the weather scientist guy cracking all the jokes? Doesn't he have some work to do? LOL.
And area code 425, yay. I want to see some footage of John in his weather presenter days.
I will find the videos for you. 360, is it fair to say a rim shot is like bacon? It just makes things better. True.
And Karen in SeaTac weighs in. Hey, John, if it snows a lot in Cleellum, whatever you do, don't go plowing people's driveways if they don't ask you.
Oh, good reference to that L.A. writer. That's very good. Don't worry. We don't have those type of people out here. Pet Cemetery 206. That tower isn't that bad.
And area code 206. Wow. Every day Tom shows how out of touch he is. $100 for a full-size statue of an animal? Please. I wasn't thinking full-size, and I was thinking more papier-mâché. You could put something together for $100.
All right, fine. Tom's birthday, Tom's mom's birthday, Mr. 253. Oh, good. Says, Tom, tell your mom. I said, read it, Tom. My letters went away.
Oh, great. Mr. 253. Tom.
Deleted them all.
Tell your mom I said happy birthday. If you guys have any trouble turning off the cat filter in Zoom, text me and I'll walk you through it. And be sure to remind the other people in the call that you aren't actually a cat. Will
keep
do.
Going, Tom.
Okay. On the Inslee press conference, 425 says, John, it's not that people aren't masking when they go out to stores or restaurants. It's more that they aren't masking at home with big groups of friends and family from outside their homes. This is about mask resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The people
do
doing
I keep
that
going?
Home, I'm sure. 206. No, I got it. How could they possibly apply equity when it comes to vaccines? How do you know that just because you're black, you're at a greater risk? Maybe you're healthy, you live alone, and you're young. But they should get it before elderly white people with heart problems? Huh? I added the huh.
Yeah, I noticed. I didn't see that. Summer camp, Nick from Orcas. Since we're telling messed up overnight camp stories, I may as well throw my hat in the ring. I went to overnight camp at the local YMCA as a kid, and one of the activities you could do was bark scraping. They had a huge pile of cedar poles, and they would give you a spoon or a dull butter knife and have you scrape the bark off the poles. The more poles you debarked, the more plastic beads you would earn. The plastic beads you could use to make yourself really cool bracelets and necklaces. I later learned that they were using the debarked cedar poles to make furniture they would sell. I'm not sure when they finally discontinued their child labor scheme, but I still reminisce about all the beads and character I earned as a 10-year-old.
You can't do that if you're going to get married.
That's right. Paper Mile 360. No, not every time we come up with a way to live affordably, the dirtbags come up with a plan to get the money we were trying to save. Pitchfork time, people. Dot, dot, dot.
And area code 206. Sully just said that we'd be able to convert the gas tax by 2030. Isn't that when we're supposed to be able to ride our choo-choo trains instead?
That's right, 360. If they want to do pay-by-mile, then just put the pay-by-mile in electric cars. Leave the gas cars the way they are. really selling it, aren't I?
You are indeed, John.
All right. I'd be pretty excited to do something to the robot.
And now all right, time for the letter of the day.
Comes from area code 253. Hi, guys. We put my husband's beloved old horse, Barry, down this week. It was probably one of the saddest events I've ever witnessed, seeing such a great, beautiful animal go down. Now, I'm not much of a farm type of girl myself, but I certainly can fill you in on equine burials now. John, it's a good thing you have a big tractor. I think you can assist Sean with this, as you'll have to dig a grave the size of a minivan and then drag that big guy into the hole and fill it. And hurry, because if the ground freezes, you'll have a whole other can of worms. Unless it passed in its stall, in which, I'm told, you'll have to dismember him to get him out of there, most likely. Yuck. Anyways, here's to Barry and Clip frolicking in heaven together. Hopefully, as new friends.
Oh, I threw up twice.
Oh, that's so good. Barry and Clip.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Name no more.
Thank God that's all she wrote.
She left the gloom hanging round my back door.
Oh, I threw up twice.